Hello, everybody. I'm Matt Seidel, along with Derek Seidel and Josh Trope, and this is Coach Speak. Okay, welcome back to the pod, everyone, and we are thrilled to have a special guest with us tonight, new Williamston High School head boys basketball coach, Koji Vroom. Koji, how you doing?
Doing well. Thanks for having me, guys, and it's been fun. I mentioned to Matt earlier today, it's a really good way for me to keep up with, you know, the area basketball while in Wisconsin this past year, and looking forward to being back and being part of it and then being part of this podcast too.
Good deal. Have you listened to the podcast before, Koji? Have you? I'll be honest. Have you listened to it?
Yes. Ever? Yes. All right. I can't say every episode. I'm not a weekly listener, but quite a few of, especially talking about the SEC last year, because that's where I coached a number of years ago. So hearing that sort of stuff, and I listened to some today actually when I got home. So.
Attaboy. Good answer, because the wrong answer, this thing would probably be over right now. So anyway, hey, we got to ask you. We're gonna jump around a little bit, but you know, you graduated high school. What was it? Was it 2013?
Yep.
And you went to Kalamazoo College, played a little basketball, obviously a good player at Rudolph Steiner in high school. You go to Kalamazoo College, you come out of college, you get into the little high school basketball, you're a sub-varsity coach and a varsity assistant at Dexter, and then you start pursuing that college dream, which is awesome, and you had some great experience. You're at EMU as a GA, you're at Kalamazoo College as an assistant, and currently, well, before you accepted this job at Williamston, you're at Wisconsin Oshkosh, which is a D3 school, right, in Wisconsin. How do you end up at Williamston High School? And, you know, really, you know, with a young guy, are you 26, 27?
27.
I'm 27. Like, this thing happened quick. I mean, they post that job, and I know they reposted it and went with another pool of candidates, and you were in that pool. And the next thing you know, you're emerging, because a lot of people, be honest, probably in the Lansing area, maybe, you know, don't really like Koji Vroom. Like, that is a great name. You're on the all name team right from the beginning. But what, how did that all come about?
Yeah, I think probably there was some time probably while I was still at Kalamazoo, like, considering high school basketball as an option. I kind of always knew it was there. Like, when I was coaching high school at Dexter, it was something I really enjoyed. And I mean, Josh knows, we had talked about it some, like, just pursuing the college thing was appealing, especially from, you know, a full-time job standpoint. And that was awesome to do here. Like, no ill will with that or with the job or any part of it. But, you know, basketball is basketball. I really enjoyed high school part about being around kids developmentally. Was a really cool thing. And not necessarily a knock on D3, but, you know, we get pretty much in season, like start of practice till end of the season to work with guys, which is great. And the accountability of them, you know, being on their own to work out during the summer and that sort of thing is great. But I really enjoyed kind of the year-round aspect of it. I don't know if I'll be coaching AAU like I was at the time, maybe some younger kids, and just to kind of help the youth program a little bit. But, you know, when I was doing it in high school at Dexter, is, you know, you coach from, you know, beginning of practice to the end of the season. AAU starts up, you go until June, you get all of June to play, you know, a crazy amount of games, almost like half or a full real season. And then July, AAU's back up. August, you kind of have some time to get ready for the next year. And then, you know, you're jumping into stuff with that. So that was a big part of it. And then also just knowing, you know, that high school is an appealing thing to me, and then having a school like Williamston open up was, you know, that was the kind of place that I was considering coming back to high school for, like somewhere where you're going to compete year in, year out. You know, that's going to be the goal in the league and in the district. And then from there, when you really have a really good group and special group, you can really go on and do what they did last year. And I know it's not the first time they've been to the Breslin, and the goal is going to be to do that again. But you know, competing year in, year out, and that's a really fun thing. So having a really good job open up was huge. And yeah.
Now, Koji, you know that you competing for districts and league titles, that's the expectation, my friend. This is Williamston. Yeah. You're a Hornet now. This you're not Dexter anymore, where you're just hoping to compete for a league title. You're a Hornet. This is the lofty goal. So this is a great job you walked into, and well deserved. I mean, obviously, you know, I knew you back when you played for Nick Sherwood, that Rudolph Steiner. So it's been a long time now, and you're a heck of a high school player as well. So my question for you is, you've had some great stops along the way. I mean, obviously, you know, we're not going to take anything from the Dexter days, but what will you take from EMU, Kalamazoo, or Wisconsin Oshkosh? What might you take from those places that you think will work well in the high school game and at Williamston?
Yeah, that's, I think there's a number of things. I think starting from my most recent spot, I think just the culture and competitiveness at Oshkosh is what really, in my opinion, separates them from, you know, a lot of programs. And the league is very, very good. Like, we didn't by any means steamroll the league this year. But just having competitive practices day in, day out, like, we do fundamental stuff, but then after that, everything's competitive. Like, you're going, I mean, you love your teammates, but you're still going at them every second of every drill that you can. You know, we were man to man and motion primarily. So we played a lot in practice just to work on those things. So making sure that there's a competitive aspect to a large, you know, amount of your practice. I think it's going to make your guys better because you're playing, but also just creating that environment of competitiveness is really huge. And just the culture of, you know, being high energy, being great teammates. And so that's a huge thing from there. Obviously man to man is something I've known, like Coach Kane at Dexter was pack line man to man, and that's what we were here. So that's, you know, similarity and definitely going to be part of what we do. From Kalamazoo, I think, you know, being in college and being D3 is something that, and that was the case at Oshkosh too, but that's something that I can, you know, relate to players a little bit with. You know, obviously Williamson's had some good players that have gone to play college, and, you know, the goal is to have more of those in the future. So being able to talk to them about, you know, what they really need to be doing on a daily or weekly basis to reach their goals and have some perspective of the recruiting process from the other side. And, you know, either what coaches are looking for, what they might mean by, you know, saying a certain thing. And so that, I think from a development standpoint, like, you know, guys got to work at it a lot. And you guys know that from having, you know, played and or coached really good players. You know, so I think creating a culture of guys that, you know, if you want to play in college, you got to work at it a lot, or even if you just want to be a really good high school player. And then from Eastern, I mean, you guys know Coach Murphy is a big zone guy. So there will be some zone at times. How much is yet to be determined. But mixing that up and just knowing, you know, a lot of the details of that was something that, you know, we mixed it up a lot at Dexter when I was there, but didn't know, you know, how much can really go into making a zone an elite defense. So that'll be part of it. And then just a lot of the, I got a lot of operations experience there. So some of the organizational stuff will be really key.
That's awesome. With, in terms of the offensive side, where do you kind of take your most of your inspiration from? Like, you know, is it more from your, which stop do you think will have the biggest effect on your, or impact on your new system at Williamson?
That's actually really interesting. And this is not just the, I mean, not to be ironic with the name of the podcast, but the coach speak version answer. A really cool thing was we had effectively three different, you know, motion primary offenses at the three stops I was at. Eastern Michigan, we were more dribble drive, kind of the Vance Wahlberg, basketball immersion type stuff, kind of a hybrid of those things that we worked on a lot. At Kalamazoo, we were all Princeton spread type stuff, which I think depending on personnel can be maybe very effective. And then here at Oshkosh, we're more of a, not quite pure motion, but more similar to that with some, you know, five out NBA concepts in terms of playing two man games. So, you know, as I continue to get to know the roster, I think that's where that part will come out. And then just my philosophy is, has always been, you know, when we're going to call stuff, we're going to have plays for players. I think something that Coach Lewis here said a lot was, you know, think of players, not plays. So when you're building our playbook, when I build my playbook this year, it'll be, you know, thinking, hey, these are the guys that, you know, we're going to run stuff for, and, you know, what can we run to get them in the best positions to let them be successful.
You mentioned Coach Lewis. Is he going to be around in some capacity? Is he going to be involved in any way? Has he reached out to you? Have you guys talked?
That, and I should clarify. So Coach Lewis is my current head coach here at Oshkosh, and then also the previous head coach of Williams. So I was referencing the one at Oshkosh. The one in Williams, yeah, I plan to talk to him 100%, and my knowledge is he's still in the area. You know, was just ready to move on, and so I'll definitely lean on him for a lot of stuff in terms of, you know, knowing Williamson, getting to know some of the families, the players, and the whole, you know, nine yards. Obviously did a heck of a job, and you know, won the big one, won the last game of the season that not many people get to say they've done, so. Yeah, absolutely. To answer that question.
Speaking of that, that roster at Williamson, what do you know about it? What do you know about your players? I mean, I know you worked them out during, I think, one of the interview sessions, right? You guys had a workout was part of the process, but you haven't had any summertime with them or even really a meeting yet, right? Because you're still in Wisconsin. What do you know about these guys?
Yeah, we'll be, you know, it'll obviously look different. We had 10 seniors on the roster last year, and they did a heck of a job. You know, a number of guys playing college basketball, so. You know, in terms of who's on the roster, will be a little bit different. It'll be a little bit younger. There's a very strong junior class. The freshman and JV teams were very successful last year. Number of guys that were, you know, on the varsity team but weren't, you know, big time contributors with how much talent they had. So it'll be a mixture of that. It'll be guys that, you know, haven't played a ton in varsity. Some guys that have some varsity practice and a little bit of game experience. You know, was impressed in the workout. The guys that were there that, you know, will likely be on the team. They had, you know, done a good job in the summer, and we're very coachable, very engaged into what we were, you know, trying to accomplish in that, you know, short period of time. So it'll be different from a lot of perspectives, but really looking forward to having those guys. And I think a nice thing is that too, like getting to coach those guys in year one, and then a lot of those guys will be back for their senior years, which I think is a really cool thing. So you can build on, you know, what we did in year one from a program standpoint, but also from a development standpoint.
I was gonna say, you're talking about the interview process, working guys out. I'm curious, what was your strategy with that? Like, you know, I've never had to do that in an interview, like have to work out kids, like, and I guess even having to think through that myself, I'm like, man, there's a lot of different ways you could go to try to, you know, leave a good impression in a short workout. What route did you go with that? If you don't mind sharing.
I could send you guys the plan afterwards if you wanted to, but I just kind of went through an approach of like, I've got, you know, probably about half the time we'd have for a regular practice. So making it look as much like a real practice as I could, you know, just, I like to think I'm a relatively honest person. So just being honest with the players and the interview committee of, you know, this is kind of how we're going to do things. There's certain things either you don't have enough guys for, or, you know, I'm not going to bring in a speaker and be bumping music in an interview, but no, that's something that we'll likely do during the season at times just to get things rolling. And I just kind of approached it like a normal practice. There was some, you know, a little bit fundamental stuff to start with, just to kind of show the guys like, you know, yes, we're going to do some advanced stuff, but you know, we're always going to start with core stuff there. And then from there, just did a little bit of competitive, a little bit of teaching stuff, and just kind of ran it like a normal practice, just, you know, a lot shorter.
How many guys did you work out?
That was, I'm trying to think. I think it was 8 or 9, and okay. Still in July, so that is still
legal. That sounds like an MHSA violation.
It's all right. You could answer. Listen, you know.
It's a violation.
Matt those rules very loosely anyways. Don't worry about it. And also, if you could send those practice plans to Matt, it'd be great. Charlie Anderson recently texted me. He said he's tired of the mic and drill and the three-man weave and all of that. So, but I do also want to add, like, this is kind of a new wave thing. I mean, like, it's a great way to interview. Back, I don't know, when they hired Rushton at Dexter, I was on the interview committee, and this was the first time I had seen this. And they were working guys out. Like, the coaches came in and worked guys out. I had never seen that before. And if you think about it, it's like teaching a lesson. If you're getting going for a teaching job, it makes all the sense in the world, you know, but I've never heard of it until recently. Actually, Dexter and Williamston are the only two I've ever heard of it at, but maybe that's something, you know, that'll catch on, you know, cutting edge, as Coach Sutter likes to say.
Yeah. And I don't know how many, you could probably speak for Dexter. I don't know how many candidates did that or got to do that. But I think it's good for both sides. Like, as the potential coach, like, you get to see, you know, potentially some of the guys you're working with, kind of what's going on, how much engagement there will be, and not necessarily that you do that and then turn out a job because you didn't. Like,
I was just going to say, they can't finish. You're like, I'm out of here. This is bad news.
No, but between that and then I think too, like, and I'm sure there's some cases where the players have more input than others, but you know, the players get to see it too. And like, if they really, I'm not necessarily the guy that thinks new school is like bad by any means, but you know, the player's voice does matter, especially in high school. And, you know, in college, you kind of, both sides get to pick, you know, who's on your roster. And so there's a little bit less of that, because hopefully during the recruitment process, both sides, you know, develop a relationship and understanding. But, you know, in high school, like, you know, you want a coach that you want to play for. And as a coach, you want players that, you know, hopefully want to play for your program. So I think it's good for both sides. And it's, you know, ideally, if you have people on the committee that, you know basketball a little bit, I think it's a better way of, you know, conveying what they may or may not know. Like, here's how practice is going to go. And there you go. So,
Koji, have you looked at your schedule for 22-23 yet? Have you peeked at that? I'm peeking at it right now. Dude, you better strap up and get ready to go.
Oh, yeah.
It's like Howell, Lansing Catholic has, like, Okemos, DeWitt. These are, Chelsea is early January. By the way, Chelsea would never ever scheduled you under the old regime. Now they have a coach who's not afraid.
This is the perfect time. Williamston just graduated 7 guys. This is usually when we jumped on people. You know, this has been my request. Yeah,
there's some more there too. That's you guys play a very competitive schedule. You got to be excited about that, I guess. But also, like, all a little bit of pressure to get your team ready to go.
Yeah, and I don't know. Hopefully I don't get in trouble before I even move for saying this. I believe there's a game at Saginaw Valley State that's not on, at least the one that I'm looking at here. So I think there's a couple still either to be finalized or that are on there, just not posted online yet. So, it'll be fun. And I think it's something that, you know, the players will know as soon as, you know, we have our first meeting is yes, last year's team won state. And that's awesome. Like, we still, you know, carry that as a school. But a lot of that group was not on that varsity team. Obviously, part of the program is still an important thing. But you know, and I wasn't there either. So there's a lot of us that, you know, we're not as players, this team is not reigning state champions. The school is, and that's awesome. But, you know, we're here, we got to show up every night because everyone's going to be gunning for the reigning state champions. And every school is looking for a chance to beat that team. And that happens when you're league champions too. So it's something that's going to be really fun to have those games every night. And that was something that was, you know, really enjoyable here at Oshkosh was, you know, every team wanted to roll in, whether it's non-conference, conference, and they wanted to be the ones to knock you off. And so you gotta show up and you're getting everyone's best and in a competitive league and competitive schedule. If you don't, like, you're going to lose games. And that's, you know, we say winning is fun and losing is not very fun. So
can I ask who was on the interview committee that watched you put the kids through a workout practice?
Yeah. The committee at the workout, there was a couple other people in the virtual interview I did at the workout itself was the AD, the girls head coach, and then the volleyball coach as well. They were running camp that day. So they had some extra people around. And so.
Wait a minute. You mean the head coach at the rival school, your biggest rival, wasn't there to judge who should be the next Williamson coach? Because that's what Dexter did a few years ago by having Trope come in. I mean, it probably, whatever he said, they probably went the other way with it. But I just thought that was strange. But yeah, that's more of a traditional committee, I would say. Sorry, Dexter, yeah. I had to take a shot at you.
No, I was aware of that because I was still working at Dexter at the time. A lot of the players were interested, but I wouldn't say confused necessarily, but it was certainly an interest. No, Jake Bullock was not there. That would have been, as long as I don't have to play him one-on-one, I think we'll be all right. If that occurs, it won't be a great look for me. But
is that Williamson's big rival, probably, Lansing Catholic?
It's from what I understand, that seems to be the case. And I texted Jake, obviously he's from the area and he's played in that league. And he was like, yeah, it's no joke. Like, it's obviously, I think we're separated by a division technically in the conference. Like, we still play them every year, but I don't think they're a team we play both times. But
play them early too.
And they'll be good. Like, they've had a good program. They'll be a good program. Jake's going to do good things. And so it'll be a lot of fun. And that was a huge part of coaching high school that I enjoyed. Like, I had known Dexter Chelsea. My parents went to Dexter and I'd heard about it, but like that first time that you go out and you're playing, like it's a different thing. And so rivalry games are a lot of fun. And we had some here in college too, which are a lot of fun, but when the whole town and the whole neighboring town show up on a Friday night, like that's a pretty cool thing.
Dexter Chelsea. I mean, what about the Rudolph Steiner Green Hills rivalry? I mean, you were part of that, right? That was why. Never mind. All right.
We can move on. No love lost there. Just like it's a different thing in Class D, and I love my experience, but from a basketball standpoint, it was a very, very, very different.
I'm always wondering about this. Like, when, you know, I mean, we all probably could remember, but what was your moment? What was the key when you said, man, I want to coach this game. I want to coach basketball. I mean, you were a player, you followed the game, but you're a sports fan. I know your family there, you know, sports people, your dads especially, but when did it hit you? I want to be a basketball coach. When was that?
Yeah, I've always kind of had probably a different answer than some people for this. Like, I was, when I stepped away from playing in college and still helped with the team, like, one of my coaches asked me that, like, do you want to coach? And at the time, my answer was, I don't really know. It was initially, like, when I interviewed at Dexter and got the chance to work with Coach Kane there, it was just wanting to stay involved in sports after school, and basketball was my number one at the time. And I had started to get into some of the more like strategic and coaching stuff like that. It just always intrigued me, like the X's and O's of it, you know, how there's a million different ways to win, which I think is a lot of fun. And then from there, just fell in love with it right away, like doing some summer stuff. And then actually, ironically, in Lansing, was working at one of the Michigan State basketball camps and just realized, like, the, you know, you're getting up at 6, 7 in the morning to make sure that the kids get to the gym. And then you're going through pretty much the night session ends at 8:30, 9 o'clock at night. And just enjoyed the teaching aspect of that. And then it just didn't feel like you really worked a full day, and you worked 8 to 8, at least, if not more. So that was really fun. And then just, I think all of us are probably pretty competitive people. So getting to be, you know, part of competition in some way, obviously not, you know, in between the lines. Well, I guess we probably all are as coaches. Don't tell the officials that, but we end up on the court some. But no, it's just fun to compete and help kids have a really fun experience, because I was fortunate to, you know, play for coaches that I enjoyed playing for and have a very positive sports experience. So hoping to give that back to another generation of kids and hopefully win a lot of games in the process, but just have a really positive experience, because I know how much that meant to me with sports in my life.
What's the life plan? And what I mean by that is, What are you doing for a job? How are you paying the bills for now? When do you move the area? Is there a future Mrs. Koji Varum that's traveling with you? and more importantly, where are you going to live? You know, I ask all those real quick. I'll give you a second to think about it. As I say, yesterday I drove home from Grand Haven and I drove through the beautiful metropolis of Eaton Rapids, where Derek Sledel spent a year living as a coach. So this is an important thing. You know, I mean, you gotta place yourself well in a good community where there's, you know, good things going on. So what are some life plans?
Yeah, I'll be back in Michigan next week. We had camp this week in Oshkosh, and just getting some things straight up in terms of the move. I'll be working in the school, building sub this year. Just wanted to be around everything, get to know a lot of the kids, get to know the teachers, other coaches, the whole nine yards. And then like with scheduling too, like if guys are more available in the mornings and want to do stuff before school, you know, that's how we'll roll. And that's awesome. And then, you know, in terms of living, being in Williamston, but the plan, actually, I guess I kind of skipped the part there. The plan is to get certified to teach the next handful of years, depending on, you know, hopefully it goes quicker than not. And then hopefully be teaching in the district in a few years, and just kind of have that be, you know, a longer term thing. And that was, you know, part of coming back to high school is just kind of seeing that there's a little bit more of a, not necessarily easier, but, you know, structured long-term plan in terms of a job and, you know, kind of settling down a little bit. Like, obviously I had awesome jumps, like going from school to school was a positive, you know, vertical jump, as people would say, to each one. But, you know, there's part of me that was, you know, kind of ready, like, hey, let's, you know, buckle down a little bit. That sounds like something I would say if I had a significant other moving with me. That's not the case. That's just me personally. Like, would like to, you know, kind of have a place to be, and hopefully for the foreseeable future, and just be back in Michigan, where a lot of, you know, people I grew up with, people I went to school with, family still in Ann Arbor, so not too far. So a lot of those things. And then we'll be living in Williamson at least for this year, and you know, hope to enjoy that and hope to stay there. Likely, it's just nice to be close to the school.
So you avoided it. So no Mrs. Future of a Room coming with you or anything like that?
No.
Okay. All
unless right. Something changes in the next couple of weeks here, but.
Okay. So the ladies on Tinder in East Lansing need to watch out, is what you're saying. Or
that seems like a dangerous
choice. I mean, is that.
I truthfully don't know. I know our players here use it some, but yeah, we'll figure something out. That's definitely part of the long-term plans to figure that out. But yeah, that's been.
I'd like to apologize personally to people from Eaton Rapids. I mean, I like Eaton Rapids. Derek had a good time there. Darb's restaurant, man. And, you know, hey, come on. What are you ripping on Eaton Rapids for? You got to make friends out there. Why are you coming through Eaton Rapids on your way home from Grand Haven? But you don't need to explain that. I guess you were late for the podcast tonight anyway. So, oh, yeah. Hey, Koji, this is important. This is probably the most important question you'll answer all night. Are you a suit guy? Are you a polo guy? Are you a pullover guy? You got tennis shoes or dress shoes? I mean, what are we doing? I see you got the facial hair going. Sometimes you're clean shaving. I mean, but we want to know about your gear. Like, what are you going to look like on the sideline? I know it's going to be green sometimes, but yep. What are you going to look like?
Yeah, well, the green, as we alluded to prior to Josh getting here, since he was late, as you mentioned, will be an adjustment a little bit. Obviously, we had green at Eastern Michigan, but growing up in Ann Arbor, being a Wolverine, hopefully I'm not getting off to a bad foot with Williamson people already. That'll be an adjustment. But yeah, no, I think more along the polo quarter zip lines than a suit. Wore a suit here, wore a suit at Eastern. I think it is a good look. I just think that the amount that I'll likely be moving up and down the sidelines, that's not necessarily an ideal choice for me, I guess I would say. And you get to mix it up a little bit more. I think, like, you're not going to have some of the D1 guys might have a whole closet full of suits, but you know, as high school coaches, you can probably mix it up more if you're, you know, rocking a different polo or a different quarter zip. And Derek knows, but I think the only time we played against each other was baseball potentially. And that was something where I just became very superstitious very early on in life. So, you know, if we lose a couple games wearing one thing, I got to be able to change into something else and for the next game. So we're not having any bad luck with that. So definitely more along that lines. We'll see about the sneakers. I've got some, but not quite the closet that some people have. So we'll see along those lines.
I just hope you're tucked in, you know, unlike Coach Kane and John Lamar Hamilton with the shirts down below their butt. I mean, I think Williamson, I don't think they're going to have that. You can't walk around that sideline untucked with your polo. So just.
Yeah, we'll see. Depends on how fired up I get it. It might just have to, you know, once it goes untucked, like, you kind of just got to roll with it.
Yeah, and you can't be pushing it back in at that point. Right? Oh, God.
I got one more, you know, kind of recurring podcast thing that we have going. We're still pushing. I think, at least I am still pushing for the shot clock. You being somebody who's coached in high school, went to college, you know, obviously you've had this shot clock now while you're there coming back. What are your thoughts with that?
I would love to see it. I don't know. I mean, Matt probably has a more realistic idea of when or if that'll happen, being the AD of the group. It doesn't seem like it's particularly realistic, but you know, I'd love to see it. I think it, even if it's a little bit longer than a college shot clock, I think it helps from, I think you get to do a little bit more from your strategy coaching wise. I think there's some more things you can do there, but I think that the bigger one for me is I think it helps kids developmentally, because you got to be able to create something. And there's a lot of times where without a shot clock, you're relying on, you know, we can run a continuous offense for a minute and a half if we need to score. And you might get a better shot, quote unquote, that way. But you're not really encouraging kids to really be creative, to develop that skill where you need to have a couple guys in the team that can make something happen end of a shot clock. I think that'd be a nice thing. I think also, hopefully there would probably be a little bit of a time where you're not having, you know, great efficiency just because kids aren't used to shooting that much and you get some bad shots late. But I think as the game transitioned that way, I think it would turn into something where it's a little bit more fun to watch. It's a little more up-tempo. I know something like, I think it was a JJ Redick podcast I was listening to the other day. He had a comment where people say NBA players don't play defense because of the scores. And he was like, well, I mean, you're a longer game with a shorter shot clock. There's more possessions. And also those guys are really freaking good. But I think it just makes it more enjoyable to watch. Like if you have teams going back and forth every minute or so, like I think fans are going to enjoy that more. And that's a really fun part. When the more fans you have, it's going to be a lot more fun to play. So
I like you a lot to play that way too.
Yes.
Yeah, I liked you a lot before you came on, but after that answer, I like you even more. That was outstanding. Back to college, I want to stay with Derek's line of questioning here. Are you going to ice ball screens? Do you think that – did you guys do that at Oshkosh? Did you do it at Kalamazoo? Because it's something that really hasn't worked its way into high school that much. Matt's teams have done a very good job of it, and they've caused a lot of problems. And the teams that I've played against that do it, it does cause some issues. So is that something you'll bring from the college game? And if not, is there something else you might bring that isn't as popular in high school yet?
Yeah. The second part of that I'll have to think about for a second. In terms of icing ball screens, not, I wouldn't say primarily, and not just, I'm saying that to avoid getting scouted by anyone early on, but I think it's something that if you have more time to work on, or if you're trying to, you know, I think a lot of college teams do that as a way to keep it on a certain side of the floor, or, you know, play a guy to a certain hand. That was really the only time we did it. Like there were certain guys, like we just know they're better going to one hand, kind of playing tendencies. Like, you know, we're going to force them to play one side more often. Not quite like a lock left thing, but some guys are just better going one way or the other. So in terms of that, I'm not entirely sure. We'll kind of see. I think in terms of style of play bring from the college game, I think there's just some actions and how some things are taught. Like it will be structured in terms of like a primary offense, but just, you know, encouraging the players to understand certain primary actions that are, you know, best for them, best for their teammates, and to kind of flow into that, versus calling something a lot. I think when I was at Dexter with Coach Kane, we did a lot of stuff where, you know, we kind of almost rewarded our guys for getting a stop. And, you know, if you get a stop or a turnover, like you guys can go play our motion, play our, you know, there's sort of a combination motion dribble drive type thing, but just kind of letting them be free. And then, you know, on a make, sometimes we let them do that as well, but that's kind of when we might call stuff. So just, you know, teaching them that, I think, is, you know, teaching guys how to play while still running stuff is a really good thing. And we did that with a lot, you know, a lot of two-man games, and kind of gave our guys menus, was kind of what we called it. Just to give them an idea of like, this isn't all you can do, but this is probably, you know, what we think is probably best for you to do each and every time down the court. You got so-and-so staying in the corner and they're best coming off, you know, a down screen or something. Let's get one of those for them. Or if we want them to play more ball screen stuff, like, you know, let's find a way to get them the ball and then, you know, the big nose to come up and play with them.
Okay. Well, hey, man, this has been a lot of fun. Glad we got back going with the podcast, but also back doing an interview. It's a great first guest, Koji. Thanks for being with us. If we were in the middle of the fall, speaking of a couple of things about the fall, one, there is a Williamston Olivet football game on October 14 at Williamston. I expect you there. I expect a piece of pizza and maybe a water at some point. You come over to the visiting sideline. We plan on putting it on you guys, just like we did last time in the playoffs over there at Williamston. Hopefully it doesn't rain. It is going to be cold though. But The other thing is that if this were September, we might even have you help us with the football picks. But then I was talking to your former boss at Dexter today in a separate conversation.
Oh, boy.
And he told me you might be one of the worst fantasy football players of all time. So I don't know if we want you. He said you ran the league, but he said your team was kind of weak. Is there any truth to that? Are you a bad fantasy player?
The couple of years with Kane, I did not fare particularly well. I'll take an easy excuse would be I was maybe more focused on the basketball side of things than fantasy. How much truth that is, I don't know. But
maybe Tim should have been doing that as well. Huh?
Yeah, that's why I'm not quite going to throw him under the bus. No, I did not fare well those years. But no, I think part of that is I've never been a huge NFL guy, but enjoy playing. Like it gives me a reason to watch on Sundays some. So hopefully we'll fare better. I think we're reviving our league next year or this coming year.
All right,
getting back around. So
just having a little fun with you. But anyway, good luck with everything at Williamson. Glad to have you aboard in the high school fraternity, and maybe an Olivet Williamson game. If we actually get to play this year in March, that means we both had a really successful season. So you take it easy on us if we get to that point. So, all right, man, you take it care.
Yeah, thank you guys. Looking forward to it and looking forward to being around you guys a lot more and chatting, I'm sure, more off air. So.